Well, welcome to New City Church. We are online, and we're glad you're with us. And I'm glad that you laugh at home to my jokes. And we trust the Holy Spirit. His word can penetrate the distance between us. His word can find us wherever we are. And so that's why we're doing this, because we're still gathered around the God who comes to us no matter where we're at or what we're doing or where we find ourselves. So let's begin by praying and setting apart this time to worship and give thanks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you sent your Son to earth to save us, and that this is who you are. You are the God who is in control of all things, and you love us. And so remind us this morning as we gather around your word, your promises, your Son, your future for us. We're gathered around by faith your Son Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. And we ask, Holy Spirit, you bind us together, knit us together with you and with each other, so that we can also confess nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So now we're going to start off with the prayer of confession and absolution, which I actually didn't check. Is
Anthony did it?
Oh, Anthony, you're awesome. So if you go on our Instagram or Facebook in our story section, you can find the prayer of confession and absolution there, along with our songs. And so together we are going to confess that we are sinners and in need of a Savior, and then together we will receive forgiveness and know that we are forgiven, that God loves us and sent his Son to die for us, and it's for his sake that we can rest knowing that we are forgiven by him. So let's together read out loud the prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, thank you for forgiving us. Allow us to rest in that today and be refreshed and renewed that we have a future because you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first Bible reading for today is found in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. We are meeting up with Jesus and his disciples after his resurrection, and now we are dealing with life after resurrection. What does that look like? So if you'll read with me, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
It's the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. We're going to read from 1 Peter. In fact, for the next several weeks, we'll be considering the book of 1 Peter. So today's reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. And while you're looking up 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, I just was overwhelmed with the reality of that passage where everybody knows about doubting Thomas. But if I said, what were the first words of the resurrected Christ to his disciples, what would people say? Do you remember? You just read it.
Yeah. Peace be with you.
He said it three times.
Yeah.
But it's just overwhelming, overwhelming to Thomas's, like, trying to work it out is Jesus Christ resurrected saying, peace be with. First thing he wanted to say is, peace be with you. And yet all we can think about, our minds are so, like, we think about doubting Thomas. And it just struck me.
Yeah.
Peace be with you. The resurrected Christ speaks. And now Peter writes this letter and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." It's the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So the phrase, an inheritance, that Peter is saying to this audience, you have an inheritance. And it got me thinking about some of the greatest things that I've inherited in life. You know, you get things from a loved one, someone who cares enough about you and thinks about the future and gives something to you. And for me, the one item that sticks out was when my grandfather passed away, I was 15 years old, and he gave me his guitar. He had this guitar. He was from Mississippi and sang the blues. And I remember him doing that with some friends. And then I got this guitar when I was 15, and it was just given to me. I didn't play guitar. I didn't deserve the guitar. It was given to me. And you think back, like, on the impact of that gift, I started then playing guitar and learning and playing and playing and playing until, you know, 20, 30, however old I am now, 30 years later.
Wow.
Yes. 30 years later, 30 years it becomes later. A source of great joy in my family. It's used in worship. Like, an inheritance sets your future apart. And so as we look at what the resurrected Christ did, I thought of this idea of when someone passes or is gone, have you ever heard this phrase, like, he wanted you to have this or she wanted you to have this? And so our whole idea for the next several weeks is the resurrected Christ. Christ died, he's resurrected, and we're telling you he wanted you to have this. And today, what he wanted you to have is a future. A future. Peter calls it a living hope. But he wanted you to have this, a future. And so that's what we're anchoring on today as we explore all the things the resurrected Christ has given us. So in Peter, he's saying, your future has arrived. And I want to set you up, though. Matt, tell us. Matt's been doing the research behind the scenes. Tell us what's going on here, because it's so appropriate, I think, for our situation.
Yeah, so Peter, if you've been attending our sermons, you should be familiar with Peter right about now, because we've followed him pretty closely through this Lenten and now Easter season. And right now, it's probably 20 years after Jesus has ascended back into heaven. And so Peter, James, and John, they are like the pillars of the church in Jerusalem, and they're just trying to keep everything going. And the movement's spreading, and it's spreading beyond Jewish society, and now it's been established in a lot of Greek cities. And who he's writing to right now are Christians in Asia Minor, which is like Turkey right now. And so these are not Jews, they're Gentiles. These are not people who have historically identified with a Jewish story or would be considered Jewish. But Peter feels like, I need to write to you, because right now they're Christians. They're turning away from the Roman paganism, and they're feeling social pressure. They're feeling isolated. They're feeling alone. They're feeling ostracized. And their Jewish brethren are slow to bring them into the family because they're Greeks, and they don't know who they are, and they don't trust them. But Peter's like, no, we are a family. And so this letter is written to these people who are alone and isolated. And Peter, as the apostle, is saying to them, you are part of the family now. And as part of the family, this is what Jesus has to give you.
So even in the intro, he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you, to these places isolated, mm-hmm. far away from the epicenter, from Jerusalem, where everything's happened, far away from being related to Abraham and Isaac. He says, this is for you. You're brought into this. And I love it that Peter does it, because if anyone knows what it's like to be afraid and to have failed, and it's Peter.
Yes.
But then to be restored and brought in by grace and by mercy of God, and be given peace when you don't deserve it, and when you can't imagine where it would come from, Peter knows. And so he writes this letter to say, I want you to know who you are. I want you to know what you're part of. And he begins by saying Christ has given you a future, that an inheritance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You've been born again into a living hope. I want you to know you're a part of our future. You just have to think, when everything around you is changing and the people who are supposed to love you don't, and you feel like you're going to lose everything, I just feel like the message of, I know the future for you, is one that's the most appropriate. It's like, what is the future? Because all mm-hmm. I can imagine is a future of everything being ruined, everything being the worst possible scenario. And Peter breaks in, says, no, Jesus has given you a living hope. So let's open up this living hope. Let's explore it for a second. And first thing you find is that your future is completely alive. Remember Meet the Robinsons? There's a song, The Future Has Arrived. The future is alive. It's a great little movie. You should watch it. But the future is alive. Right at a time when we feel like the future is uncertain and dying, mm-hmm. yeah. who's going to save it? But for those in Christ, the future is alive. Why? Because the future is the resurrected Christ. He shows up. He says, touch my hands. And blessed are you who love me, though you don't even see me. Like Thomas believed, he saw. But blessed are all of us and all these people that Peter is writing to, who never got a chance to see the resurrected Christ, but believe and have faith because their future is alive. And so I'm thinking, like, what does that mean to have your future, the future be alive? I don't know how you understand that. I want to break it down a little bit.
Yeah. So for me, knowing that there's something good at the end of trouble, at the end of whatever you're going through, whatever the circumstances are, like right now, we are going through isolation and loneliness, and knowing that there is a future that is sure and secure, and that Jesus is alive, I think what it produces is perseverance. And we're capable of persevering through these circumstances because we know we have hope. We know that we have life at the end of this. And so for me, that's like kind of the thing is, oh, I can get through this. Like, this is awful. And I hate being alone and not being able to gather with you all. But I know we can get through this because we have Jesus.
Right, because Jesus is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus gives his spirit. I was just thinking about the passage. He breathes on his disciples. They're scared. It even says in the passage, they're scared and in their homes because of the Jews. They're scared. I think we can identify. And Jesus gives them a great gift. You want the creator of the universe to give you something? Give me all the riches. Give me all. And he goes, let me just breathe on you. Okay, thanks. I've been enjoying your breath since First Street. Like, what is that about? But Jesus is giving his spirit to us. And this is huge because his spirit, he's alive, and it's the same spirit that rose him from the dead now that is in us. And that spirit is what opens our eyes and our minds to say, oh, Jesus is with us right now. So, like, the best I can think of is while we're separated, or if we wanted to give something to our kids, an inheritance, mm-hmm. and we could give them, somehow we could assure them our presence even in our death. A little cell phone where I could talk to my kids. Even after I'm dead, I'm like, hey, I'm in heaven. Yeah, keep studying there, buddy. Keep working. Like, I could talk to them. You would figure that out. That would be better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's what Christ gives us. He says, I've given you something better than Zoom or YouTube that never glitches. And you're like, what is that? Well, it's the Holy Spirit, so that we can talk to him. He's given us his word. I was thinking the Bible is pretty much our internet. Like, what do you need to know about God? It's all in the word of God. Our churches, it's like we're gathered around and we have communion. Even in his absence, he's found a way to say, I'm with you. And then he says, you have a future. You get everything that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe it? And the Holy Spirit allows us to believe it and say, all right, I have to believe that more than what I see. Because when you look around at what you see, what can you trust? In the world today, what in the world do you think has your name written on something, set aside, is guarding it in heaven, and it's for you, and it's forever, and it's unfading, and it's unblemished, and it'll never die, and it's set apart for you? Is there any agency or group that's thinking about that besides your parents? And even them, they can't protect it. Right. Only God has this for you. And it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the treasure in heaven being guarded, working on our behalf. And he is your future. He will lead you through the future. Now, here's the question.
Okay.
The real question. The real question is, well, I have faith, so that should mean everything in my life should go well. Ooh. Why are there bad things happening if I have faith? I thought faith was, I had faith, and now God protects me, and I'm blessed. And to that, I say harshly at first, I want to be loving and kind, because this is where we're all at, but let's just be really honest. Jesus did it all right, and he had faith. And look where he ended up. And yet we think he ended up on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, my little broken mind thinks, I did everything right for you, Lord. And people are mean, and I don't know my future. I don't want to mock it, because that's honest.
Mm-hmm.
But faith doesn't mean everything is easy. It doesn't mean everything goes away.
Yeah.
We can experience great benefit from God, but our faith is not in things being good. Our faith is not in no problems. So when there are no problems, we don't say, oh, that's because I love Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, period. Then he gets inside the pit, gets inside to the sickness, gets inside the poverty, gets inside all the fear with us, and walks with us. This is the future begins now. The future is you're going to be with him in a perfect world where all is right, but it begins now by his presence with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's through faith that we start to open up our inheritance right now. It's not through everything's under control and I feel like I can control my life. But this is very hard. And that's why Peter says this. He goes, your faith is going to be tested. And when it's tested, it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It doesn't mean that it's all falling apart because of you.
Right.
It's because you live in a world that is not right. It required Jesus Christ coming to save it, and still does.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking through the idea of future.
Right.
It's not all good. That's not what faith means.
Mm-mm.
It means the future will be good. But
which then gives us the perseverance to push through all circumstances.
Right.
And have peace and have joy. And we can have all of these things, no matter if we're rich, poor, healthy, sick. It doesn't matter. Because we have Jesus. And so we can go through all things with the fruit of the Spirit, because Jesus is with us, and because we are looking forward to this beautiful future that he has for us. This amazing world that's perfect, without blemish, that is undefiled, that goes beyond our imaginations. That's what we can look forward to, and that's what gets us through these moments of darkness and despair.
I was just thinking today, it's hard to remember that. It's hard to remember that. Today, I'm going to be performing a wedding for Miranda and Mike,
mm-hmm.
in front of 8 people at their house. And so it's a huge disappointment to have such a small wedding, because you want to be such a big celebration. But it's also going to be a huge celebration. And I was thinking about verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. This is Peter saying it to us, because it's hard to remember. Though you don't see him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though we don't see him, we love him. And today at this wedding, I'm going to be taking 2 people who love each other now, but are doing something ridiculous. They're saying, I will love you as long as I live. It's crazy. How could they even know that? How do they know that they'll love each other as long as they live? How do they know, right? And the promise is to be faithful. So how could they even join into this? And let alone, how can this be a joyous day? You'd think they'd be just crying, like, oh, I got married today. But it's happy because it's by faith. Miranda has faith, Mike has faith, mm-hmm. that they're going to be faithful. And they're rejoicing the first day of their marriage, before it even starts. They're rejoicing because they have this great faith. They don't see the 25 years down the road. They don't see the marriage work out. All they hear is the world saying, 50-50, marriage is awful. But the world doesn't know about Jesus. That's mm-hmm. why we're telling them. But when you have Jesus, you rejoice and you say, I have faith that he's going to be faithful. She's going to be faithful. God is going to be faithful. And Jesus will be faithful to you. He will deliver on what he said, because he can afford it, and he knows your name. He loves you. And this is the faith that secures our salvation, an inheritance that keeps giving and giving and giving. And I just feel like it's so important right now to anchor on the truth.
Yeah.
What is actually true? Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he's promising you, I wanted you to have this. You have an inheritance. You have a good future.
Yeah.
And I know Matt's wife's pregnant. He knows there's a baby in there. So you can endure all the craziness of a pregnant lady. Oh, I want to say I'm kidding. I want to say I'm kidding. A lot going on there in a pregnancy. But you can endure. You can push through. And right now we find ourselves in a place where the world is completely changing. But you have Christ. And he says the future is good for you. So put your faith in him. When it's weak, look to him.
Yeah. The idea, or the reality that's hitting me, is we suffer a lot of loss and pain. But the future that Jesus has for you is everything that you've lost, everything you've missed out on, he will give back. So I even just think about Mike and Miranda's wedding right now.
Mm-hmm.
The joy and the celebration that's missed out on by not being able to have everyone there will one day be given back a thousandfold in the future. And that's what we have to hang on to and look towards. And that's where our faith propels us into the future that God has for you.
Awesome. And this is what our people have always done. We've endured. You can't kill the church, even if you try, because it endures forever. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is faith. And we have a living, breathing hope. And your name is written on it. It's for you. And praise God.
Praise God.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. I pray that your peace would guard our hearts and minds in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we want to do the Apostles' Creed at this point in time to confess our faith, confess what it is we believe. I don't know if you want to get a book to get it exactly. But this is what our people have always confessed, and this is our faith articulated, as we've just discussed, our faith in resting in the work of Christ. But Christian, what is it you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks. You may be seated on your couches or wherever you are. So during this time, we would typically take offering and write down prayer requests. I know it's difficult to, we don't have a bulletin board and the time and space to write down all of our prayer requests. So we're trying to figure that out, a way that feels authentic and real. We don't just want to put your prayer requests out there for everyone to see, but we do want you to share with us. We're here to pray for you and with you. And so if the anxiety or hopelessness or any of that starts to creep in, like I imagine it would and should in our situation, we are here for one another, to pray for one another and to remind. We speak truth to one another. It's not one person can save you. We all just remind people and one another that God is our God. Jesus Christ is our God, and he loves you, and he holds everything together. So please, throughout the week, share your prayer requests, at least with us, so that we can pray for you. We're praying for you the best we can anyway.
And then if you have prayer requests that you would like us to share, we can share them on our New City neighborhood as well.
Yeah. So also, remember to give online giving. Support the ministry and our network as we're continuing. All of our churches are continuing to do the best we can to minister to people. And I think in many ways we're ministering more just through texts and constantly talking through technology. So if you can continue to give to the Lord's work on earth as it is in heaven, we appreciate it. And the Lord blesses it to feed his people and keep his work going on earth as it is in heaven. But I wanted to use this time to pray for our church, pray for one another, and especially today focusing on coping with change. Heavenly Father, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that your servant, New City Church, may love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may ever be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Father, put your blessing over New City Church, the people who make up New City Church. You anchor and tether our hearts to the truth. You are our King. You are a good King. You love and serve all the things you've created. You've gone ahead of us, and you're working on all of our future and all of our mansions. You even said you would. You care for every sparrow. Your eyes on the sparrow, we know you watch over us. Holy Spirit, apply the words and the presence of Jesus Christ to us today that we might rest to the point where all of our despair then is turned into praise. We can actually be the people who, in the midst of great change, give thanks, give praise, and give all of our prayers to you. We trust you. Thank you. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's say the Lord's Prayer, another way to anchor, and we'll prepare to sing after that.
All right. So let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive God's blessing today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you and smile and give you peace now and forever. Amen.
Amen.